Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn up. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's on or a new point, calling with your new point. Compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. Of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, welcome back. This is your host, Brother Kev.
And your sister Rigel is in the building.
Hotel, Assalamu Alaikum, it's your brother Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back, hopefully, to share some constructive conversation, dialogue with the family. This is not a spectator sport, so y'all, please give us a call. So before we get started, y'all, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for us? Sister Rigel.
Another wonderful week for me. No real big announcements. Just, again, just want to encourage everybody to stay strong out there. I know things can get rough, but just stay strong and stay positive, you know, and always love yourself, love your neighbors, you know. Tomorrow is in promise once again, so we just want to cherish each moment and be thankful. So I just want to just encourage people to do that and be happy. Live a happy life. Just be happy.
Like what Pharrell said, be happy. You did. So my brother Mufasa Ra, what's good?
Hey, I had an interesting weekend. I learned this weekend that time travel is real. It's real.
Oh snap. Break it down.
And
boy,
I
got to
lay down the story of why I say that time travel is real.
Break it down.
Me and Sister Rigel went to a location. I won't disclose the location. She's in one car, me and my friend in another car. We get to this location. Now, when we leave the location, we jump on the highway. Rigel is in front of us, maybe two car lengths in front of us. She get onto the on-ramp, right? She two car loads in front. Me and my friend, boom, we get on. While we get on the ramp, we no longer saw Rigel. We was two car loads by, we didn't even see her. Now, we going in the same direction to get home. But Rigel is maybe a mile or two farther than me. She had to make a pit stop on the way home. Me and my partner, we rolling. Rigel make her pit stop. Long story short, when I'm pulling up at my house, Rigel done made her stop, and she pulling up at her house, which is about 2 miles farther than me, going to her door. I'm telling you, time travel is real. Because Rigel went through a she jetted off like the Star Trek Enterprise. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Now, also, because I'm sure she got something to say. I'm sure she going to have a response to that. But also, we got caught, me and Sister Rigel was out yesterday, and we was downtown St. Louis, and we saw hundreds of bikers, probably in the thousands. Just took over the streets of downtown. So I found out that that's some big ride that they do called the Ride of the Century.
And apparently they're going every year, so that's what that was all about. We had to do some more, you know, Googling into it. Yeah, it was called the Riders Inn. They was down
there
riding again today.
It was successful. It was very successful.
Oh, yeah, they was
dick.
They was dick. Yeah,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, that was off the chain. Police couldn't do nothing with them. So, yeah, we had an interesting weekend.
That's right. That's right. And, indeed. So, yeah, I just got two quick announcements. With the case in Dallas, y'all, like, we got to keep an eye on this case, got to come back with updates. So now they saying they're looking for surveillance video of the officer before she actually went into his place and shot him. You know what I'm saying? So they say they're looking for video. I think the fix is in. I think a lot of people think the fix is in. Basically, this woman is going to get off. She's off now. It also came out that the Dallas police chief is not being allowed to fire her. You dig what I'm saying? So I don't know what's that about, you know. So just keep an eye on that case. We will definitely give y'all updates. But right now they're looking for video surveillance. I wouldn't be surprised if they manipulate some video somehow or something. But just keep an eye on it. And the fix is in, you know, as we know. And also, the fall or autumn equinox just happened. So, you know, we're moving into fall. Also, it does signify the move into Libra season as well. So, shout out to all the Libras, all the people who, you know, got to keep balance with the scales and all that type of stuff. So, we're moving into Libra season. So, I just wanted to shout out to all the Libras coming up. And we're moving into fall, so it's a time of transition where we, you know, going from summer to fall, then we go transition to winter. So, you know, like Roger Starr say, just enjoy life, be happy, enjoy the colors on the trees, enjoy the weather, all that good stuff, you know, as we move into this fall season. So those are my two. And we got a good show for y'all today. It's one of them topics that always seem to get people, you know, get people invested. Some people get emotional. But, you know, this Collective Minds Radio, so this is what we do. We have these tough conversations, you know, that some people may not want to have. But we just go on and break it down for you. We're talking about religion today, y'all. And we're asking the question, is organized religion dying? Or is...
Explain what you mean by organized, too. Okay.
Right, right, right. Organized religion. Basically, the three major religions that we know of in this country, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, as far as the major organized religion. So are these religions dying? And even more specifically, because most of our people, most black people, shall I say, are into Christianity based on the numbers. So we're also asking, part two to that question is the black church dying? Or is that old paradigm of the black church dying? You know, the one when we used to go to church with our grandma and parents, you know, is that church dying? Is there a new church on the rise? What's going on, family? Again, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We definitely want to hear everyone's opinion and, you know, and chop it up and discuss and see if we could, you know, put out some ideas and solutions out there for is religion dying? Or is it still on the rise? Is it still as strong as ever? So that's what we're talking about today. Again, it's Collected Minds. Give us a call. This is Brother Kev, Rigel Starr, and Mufasa Ra. So as we always do, we go refer to the lady first. So we go ask Ms. Rigel Starr, do you think organized religion is dying?
Yeah, dying in the sense that I recognize a change from when I was younger to now. And I think when I was younger, it seems that things was done in the more of a traditional way. Now things are done a little more free-spirited. And it seems to me that it's like now the church religion structure is changing because the times are changing. You know, everything is changing. We are in a different time. And with all this new upgrading, it seems the churches is wanting to upgrade as well. You know, it's like it's almost like when you have a service and you want to upgrade, you're trying to stay relevant, and you don't want to be outdated. You don't want to work off of an old outdated system. Unfortunately, the whole system that we're up under is outdated, but we ain't changing that. But it's things up that goes underneath it are certain other things evolve and change. But the system at hand, the overall system, is still outdated. That's why we're still operating under a lot of slave mentality rules and things like that. But just to kind of get back on topic, the church religion itself, to me, or religion, seems that it don't want to be outdated. So it is also keeping up with time, you know, in current times. So I say yes, in that sense, it's dying off, if you want to use the word dying off, because it is it's not any longer what it used to be, you know. But the idea, though, of religion, I don't know if I would necessarily say that the idea of religion is dying off. I think they're changing it. It's like upgrading it in a sense where now you can come to church with your club clothes on, and be fine. No one would you know, question was Sister Smith, you know, the dress a little short, ain't it? You know, no one questions. The mothers of the church don't question those types of things. And then we have the young men, and also even the young women now, that may have different sexual preferences. There's no one that's communicating for them and advocating to, you know, for a certain lifestyle. It's now it's like, you know, just come as you are. And they took that message to, you know, to heart, and now the come as you are statement is different now. Now they really are coming as they are. You know, before they were still trying to come a certain way, but I guess they were pretending. But I'll leave it there because it's so much more to say about it. But just to answer the question quickly, I think in a sense it is dying off because things are have changed and it's different. But I think the idea of religion is still trying to hold in there. It's shaking, but I think it's still trying to be upheld.
Right, indeed. I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, my brother Mufasa Ra, do you think religion is dying?
Yeah, I think I think Christianity is dying off slowly. You know, you got a lot of the youth now are into, you know, they want to see something that's real. They don't believe in, you know, scriptures or, you know, past prophets and stuff like that. They want to see
it
something
is
real.
What it is.
Now, this is something, though, that I think we need to look into. Now, I do feel that Orthodox Islam is on the rise. Because, you know, you got so many different groups of Islamic people, but a lot of people are turning to Islam. That's like the hot thing right now. That's in, you know, all walks of life. Because some people are a lot of people, like just say here in America, have become upset with how they're treated here in America. And, they, you know, they start looking for something different. But even outside the country, Orthodox Islam is on the rise. Like you look at ISIS and some of these other Islamic factions, you know, and like in the black community where we got the Nation of Islam, but some people don't consider that, you know, Orthodox. And some people look at that as like a form of black Christianity in a sense too. So it's slowing down a little bit. But Orthodox Islam, I think, is a religion that is slowly building up some momentum based on the strength, like I said, people being unhappy with the way of, you know, the rise of America, how America came to be, all that type of stuff. All that stuff factors in and why I think that religion is growing.
Okay, indeed. That's an interesting perspective. So,
I think that's
interesting because I would have to say that organized religion is dying, and you know I speak from the perspective of mostly, like I say, Christianity, because most black people are in Christianity, and I feel like I don't go as hard on Islam or the Nation of Islam because I feel like Elijah Muhammad tailored that particular religion for the lost black man and woman here in America. You dig what I'm saying? So he tailored that religion to lift black folks up, get them on the righteous path, you know, and get them in a disciplined state and giving them confidence as well and getting rid of, you know, the white supremacy that was deep in Christianity. Because let's make no mistake about it. The Christianity in America in black neighborhoods stems from slavery. Like, we got to keep it real about that. You know what I'm saying? That Christianity that's taught or was taught,
it is what it is,
comes from slavery teachings. And, you know, that type of whole paradigm. So we got to keep it real. So I just want to give two reasons why religion is dying, in my opinion. I think a lot of it has to do with access to more information. You dig what I'm saying? The internet is finally, you know, reaching its full potential. Everybody has basically a computer in their pocket. You see what I'm saying? You can PDF books. You can Google quote-unquote information. You can, you know, it's just access to information is so fast and so rapid that the church, like Roger Starr said, has to keep up at some point. And then I think another thing that made the consciousness rise here within the last, let's say, 18 years would be 9/11. I think after 9/11, the consciousness of the planet, because that was such a big event, the consciousness of the planet rose. Either you went the other way where your consciousness got lowered, or you elevated and understood that there was something else going on. And I point to a documentary, I don't know if y'all seen, but it was called Loose Change back in the day. Did y'all ever see that? Loose Change?
No, that sounds familiar. And then to any callers, if we have any callers online, we definitely will be taking calls.
Yeah, we gonna get... Exactly. We'll get to the callers here in a second on the line. Give us a call. This Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about is organized religion dying. I was in the middle talking about the rising consciousness, basically having to do with 9/11. And then the documentary that came following that was Loose Change. This was an underground documentary. It talked about 9/11. It talked about the state of the government. But then it also had a section on religion. And in this, they kind of broke down how Christianity basically is a copy of all these other ancient religions and how there's been other saviors, there's been other deities and Christ figures that were born on December 25th, like Mithra and Krishna. And it just went through all this information about religion that was new to a lot of people, even though that information had been out for a while, since, you know, the 70s, 80s, but it started getting prevalent within the black community with the conscious movement in the late 80s and 90s. And then this documentary after 9/11 really kind of put it out there, and people were able to do more research. So when I used to have conversations with Christians back in the day, which back in the day would be like 10 years ago, when I used to speak to Christians 10 years ago, they would say the Bible was literal. Now I ask those same Christians, is the entire Bible literal as it happened? they say, no, well, some things are literal, some things are allegory, some things are parable. So that points to, you know, that they're changing. They got to update with the times because the information is out there. So you can't just be stuck saying the Bible's literal. You actually have to, you know, tailor your argument to say, well, some things are literal and some things are allegory. You see what I'm saying? Also, within the black church, I've noticed, because when I used to go to church in the back in the day, we had the white Jesus up. You dig what I'm saying? Just like on Good Times and the Jeffersons, any other movie with a black family, there was always the white Jesus. Now, the characters are being updated to black people, as they should have been in the beginning. You see what I'm saying? So all this points to a movement towards the church having to reinvent itself to stay relevant. Because with the consciousness of black people rising, you can't have no white Jesus. You can't have Caesar Borgia on your wall, which is
it is what it is.
That they took a white Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Because then black people going to be like, hold on, something ain't right. You see what I'm saying? So all those things kind of point to the religion transforming and trying to stay relevant and keep up with the times and the change in consciousness, the information that's available. You know, they have to keep up with it every so often because there's a lot of different, you know, discrepancies and arguments that people make about the Bible. So in order to keep up, you know, they gotta concede some things or, you know, move some things around, so to speak.
So are they keeping up or are they dying
out?
Well, keeping up or they
dying out? I think it's dying out because you can only run so far. You see what I'm saying? As far as when you're changing things, at some point they're going to have to come clean with some of the information. Like if before you said the Bible was literal, now you're saying it's allegory. So then we have to dive into which stories are allegory and break those down, and which stories are literal. You see what I'm saying? And break those down. So I think it's dying because you can only run so much. Like once you figure out one thing, somebody's going to come with something else, if that makes sense. You know, so
right,
yeah, they're gonna have to figure out something as we get more information, as we evolve in our consciousness. But that's what we're talking about today, family. This Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697.
All right.
Do we
wanna, let's see what the caller say. Yeah, let's see if we have any callers that have any opinions on this topic here. It's interesting. Let's go caller area code 336-965. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
I don't know. I was just listening to what you were saying. And some of the things I agree with you. A lot of times, all religion, we didn't really get into old religion because what happened, the pastor, we believed everything the pastor was telling us. We didn't study the word for ourselves. And I think more now, I'm learning more about the Bible than I did in the past. Because a lot of things that we were doing, we didn't know if it was right or it was wrong. But the clothing, I disagree with the way the people are dressing now. Some of the women, and I don't know about the men, but some of the women are dressing really like they're going to out on the town. You know, they're not being really religion like they should be, because I have seen
like
some of the girls dressing so short. Yeah, they bend over, you see everything, and they come in, everything is showing up in the top. Even some of the pastors, I haven't noticed, even the TV pastors on television, some of the way their dresses are at the top. And they're not really, really being very religious on that. And I think that's wrong because you have a lot of young girls who are confused. And we keep confusing young kids, even with the old religion, with the new religion. First, we didn't tell them about stuff. Now we tell them too much about stuff, and they all confused on what's going on. So I don't know. Religion is changing, and I thought it was changing for the best. But if you keep living and you keep watching, I don't know which way it's going. So that's my comment.
Right. Let me ask you this, caller, real quick before I let you go. Let me ask you this. Would you be for a dress code in church? Do you think that's something that'll, you know, be received well, or would you be for a dress code in church?
Well, myself, I don't think we should have a dress code. I think what the pastor should really do is talk about it out in open, what people should wear and what they shouldn't wear. But you should choose what you wear. You know what you should wear.
Facts.
You wear a dress down to your knees. If you don't, you're not coming in this church. I don't see that. No.
Facts.
It's a slave. I mean, that's being a slave. That's telling you what to do, what to wear, what you can do, what you can eat, what you do, all the other stuff. So I don't think that's right. But if the pastor gets up and talk about certain things in the church, what young women should control themselves, young men should do, because for instance, my pastor, he talks about a lot of that stuff. He talks about marriage. He talks about you shouldn't be sleeping around. You shouldn't be sleeping with no one. You shouldn't even kiss a girl or a boy until the pastor says, now kiss the bride. And they have marriage on the rocks classes where people go before they marry. He won't marry you unless you go to his classes. If you don't go to his classes, you're not getting married in his church, you know, because he teaches that you are one by yourself.
It
you
is what it is.
Man or woman to make, be made whole. So,
okay, you know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, me, I don't mind. I would say, yeah, wear what you want to wear, because a lot of times I used to fall asleep in the church. And then a woman come in with, you know, somehow, some tight, and it kind of wake me up. Give me a little eye candy to look at.
Yeah, but you're not going to church
that. It is what it is.
It could be what it was and everything else. But you're not going to church that. You're going to church to hear the word of God. And you get sleepy, that's because you work too hard and stuff like that. You can't go to sleep. Because sometimes and I agree with that. But a woman shouldn't be able to wake you up about passing by her or looking at her and stuff like that. That shouldn't arouse you. That shouldn't do that. So you're in the church of the Lord. But anyway, I think pastors should talk more about the appearance of a woman, how you carry yourself. If you want a man, a really good man to marry you, and if you want to be a good man, you want a woman that, you know, that wants to marry you, it's where you carry yourself, and I think that's what you should talk about in the church. And that's where it should come, home man in church.
Oh, gotcha. Now, let me ask you this, Carla, since you do still go to church, can you give us an idea of the, like, the demographics or the people that go to the church? Is it mostly men? Is it mostly women? Is it mostly older folks? Is it, you know, younger folks?
People.
Or just kind of give us an idea of, you know, your church or the type of, you know, demographics that's at your church, if you don't mind.
We have a lot of young people in our church. We really do. Even though we have a golden senior group and stuff like that, we have a lot of young people in the church. And you know how young people want to do their own thing. But we do have a lot of young people.
Is it mostly men or women? Is it mostly women or men?
And you know it's a lot of women. Men, you have to drag them to church.
Right. That's what I was
saying.
There's a lot of women will go to church before men will go. And you have to drag men to church. But once they get there, they say, okay. But it's a lot of women in the church. And a lot of men go to church looking for a woman.
Right.
Yeah, that's why they okay. That's why they okay when they get there. They get there and they see all them women. They're like, ooh, I
see all
them a long time ago.
Right, exactly. You want to find a good woman, go to church. Go to this meeting.
I know. I know what you said. But you go to church looking for a good woman, you turn that woman to a bad woman because your idea, your mind is not right.
Okay. Indeed. Thank you. Indeed. Thank you, Carla, for the information. We appreciate you. Keep listening. Yes. Thank you.
Let me add this real quick before you take another caller, right? Because I forgot to mention this earlier. Something else that could play a part in some of these Orthodox religions kind of fading away is the rise of, you know, spiritual awareness as well. So that's something we need to touch on too. You know, like spiritualness and self-awareness, consciousness, somatic spirituality, things like that.
Right, facts.
Okay.
That's a fact.
Okay.
You want to get
to
another
let's take
call?
Caller.
Yeah, we can do another call. Area code 616-304. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yes. So I would like to truly answer the question of is religion dying off, I think you have to refer back to the question. I think Aristotle said it. Does Jesus Christ have a vagina? Because I think he does.
Right. You say Jesus Christ has a vagina?
No. Yeah, he said he think he does. Let's take another caller before we get into it.
I want him to break that down to me.
Area, let's take call area code.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh,
I wanted to get understanding on that one.
Yeah, he might have been trolling.
Hey.
Area code 315-767. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and comment today. See. So you're talking about the religion organized religion, Christianity,
right.
Catholicism, Judaism, kind of falling on the wayside in America. But Judaism isn't. Judaism, the Jews themselves, they stick together real good. They're very orthodox and they're very conservative, and they stick together with themselves. But the Christianity part, because it's such a free religion, that's kind of waning, mostly in the cities. In the cities where people are too busy to go to church, or they're too busy in the rat race trying to, you know, and they're working on Sundays now, and it's just not the same.
So you're basically saying that they're not going because they're not being, because you say freely, you're saying because they're not really forced to go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once these young children become adults and they get into the world and have to work, it's not like when the people, you know, their parents and their parents before their parents, where the father worked and maybe the mother didn't, and they went to work only on the weekdays. They had Sunday off, and it was a family event. You went to church as a family. It's harder to get single people to get into the church because they're working, or they're trying
especially
to have fun.
Single men. Now, let me ask you this, Carla.
Yes.
Why do you think the church has a hard time of getting single men or men to come to church?
Because there's nothing there for them. There's nothing there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
I could agree with
that. I mean, there's just
the women that are looking for a man. They're looking to find
Jesus.
That's what I was about to touch on. Go ahead.
Friday and Saturday night, the alpha males are out in the clubs looking for them women, doing their thing. And in church on Sundays is when the women are looking for their beta males to take care of them, while they go out on their Saturday nights and get hooked up with them alpha males. So, I mean, it's a dynamic of building relationship with, you know, to get taken care of. That's why there's predominantly women in church. And that's why women drag their husbands to church, because, there's nothing there. I work all week, and I was raised religious. I was raised religious, but now it's just not the same.
Right.
So, it also goes on to the intellectual and technological advances of our species as well. So when religion was started, it was to answer questions of the unknown and to get guidance. And you pray to get the guidance, to get the answer to this question that you just can't fathom yourself. And then you hoped that it went the right direction. And when you went the right direction, you thanked the heavens. When you went the wrong direction, well, hell must have had a handout for me, you know. But it was all happenstance. And, you know, it kind of went that, well, I prayed to this person and all this, you know, this entity and all these things good happened to me. So that should, you know, that's the religion. That's how we should start doing it. I pray to the sun and good things happen. I pray to the moon and bad things happen. So the moon must be evil. So nighttime is scary. But as we've grown as a species intellectually and with technology, people today do a lot less praying to their insides, to some entity, as much as they just
outside
get on their phone and type something in Google.
Yeah.
Google answers prayers today. Google tells you how to get that job. Google tells you where to go get some dinner. Google, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
Your car gets you where you need to go. You don't, it's like there's no there's the, you get in touch with your spiritual, but you don't need to talk to an outside entity anymore because now you have this device that's full of all this this information. And I mean that was the thing. We went to church and formed religions to answer questions to the, you know, that we don't have answers for. And now we're having answers for all these questions.
Exactly. And that's the thing I want to be clear on too, which is I don't think that spirituality is dying per se, but to me, religion and spirituality are two different things. Religion deals with dogma, you know, it deals with moralism and these type of things. But spirituality is the awareness of self, know thyself. So, you know, I don't want to get the two confused. I think spirituality and awareness is actually on the rise of people getting to know themselves. And religion, as far as people following this particular dogma or script or, you know, ancient scripture, I think that is dying in a sense, or the need to the need to congregate and go to church with other folks and fellowship. I think that need is kind of dying off because we have the technology to communicate and FaceTime and do all these things with other people that we can connect with without going to an actual physical church to feel, you know, to get that camaraderie. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get the spirituality and religion confused. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to put that out there.
So on an individual basis, I myself have experienced death 3 times, resuscitated 3 times. So I know that there's something else. I know that there's a second because I've watched myself be resuscitated twice.
Right.
So that's quite interesting. So I know there's something beyond, but the writings of man that are, you know, men that are still alive, when they wrote this, they can't tell me what's out there.
Exactly.
So you just have to understand yourself, and like you said, self-awareness, which through self-awareness, education, experience, I know that I'm a biological entity, a biological machine that's acts upon natural urges that make you make decisions, and you have to step away from all that emotion to make the correct decisions. And
what
it doesn't take a lot of Christianity, Islam, or Judaism. What did I see?
Yeah,
it's not
you was
as much as what I saw. Yes, it's not as much as what I saw as what I felt. Because seeing was just seeing.
Yeah.
It's like what I was seeing was myself separated from myself. And I was seeing the people that cared about me or had a responsibility to me trying to bring me back. But what I felt was what was more important. It was like beyond any high that you could ever have. There's people out there that, you know, when people want to be choked and stuff, they're chasing that high of death. There's no other feeling like when you die. But when you come back, it sucks because it hurts. We're going to do
a show on death. So we don't want to get too far. We're going to actually do a show on death.
But religion
and all that good stuff.
Like you said, religion is just an organized group of people that want to practice a way of life in a format. But that format is falling to the wayside because of technology and advancements in human thinking.
Indeed. And the
and
caller
church
brought something
now
up, too.
So the only people that really...
Because here's the thing. People are... I think more people are actually reading the Bible, you know, because she said, I think if you just read the Bible, then you would understand that this is not literal and try to just understand and grab the good stuff.
That's where I was going next.
Stuff, as opposed to going to a preacher and he's just telling you, okay, just read this. It means this. Read this. It means this. You know what I'm saying? People are actually doing their due diligence themselves and actually reading the book. And that way they can discover, hold on, well, maybe it's not this structure. I have my own interpretation of what this means, because that's the thing.
Interpretation is built off of experience.
You can have your own interpretation of things, and that's why these religions are being used the way they're used, because the people who are in power are interpreting they're interpreting these scriptures the way they want to and the way they see fit.
Unfortunately, a lot of the low-level people are the ones that are going to church. The actually easily controlled people are the ones that continue to go to church because they think it makes them feel good. They think that they're doing something right, so they just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then there's the status involved with going to church. When you go to church in your community, you have a status that's above those that don't go to church, or it's perceived status anyway.
Right.
And that's
right.
Another reason why there's a lot of women in church, because women, they cling to status. And men don't really care. We're just like, it's not helping me. It's not, you know, really helping me. Unless I'm meeting somebody in there that's going to give me an advantage somewhere else in life, then it's not helping me.
Right.
It's actually wasting my time because I could be doing something else. And then, again, the Bible itself, when I read the Bible, because I have a Bible right next to me, every now and again I'll read through it because I've read it several times in my life.
Yeah.
I'm middle-aged and I grew up in the church. But now, to me, it's just... A book of stories. I look at it as a philosophy book. It's a book on how to make decisions in life by what this says, and it helps you think. But it's not a way of life. It's a roadmap to help you stay on the right road in life. But again, none of it's literal. It was all written by a man.
Right.
Whoever the people that wrote it were touched by God, or they were writing it and God was writing to them. There's people that say that today. You know who they are? They're the bums that live under the bridge and ramble, and nobody pays attention to them.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if you just joining us, it's Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about, or we're asking the question, is religion dying? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We want to hear what you think. This is not a spectator sport. Please give us a call here at Collective Minds.
All right.
Elijah Starr and Brother Kev. I think both callers, the last caller and the caller previous, made some excellent points. Mufasa said, it is the awareness of the people and the consciousness that's rising, and it's just a natural thing. You know, they predicted, if some of y'all are aware, the age of Aquarius.
It is
where
what
we're
it
going
is.
From the Pisces age, which they say Jesus and religion ruled the Pisces age, but now we're moving into the age of Aquarius, which is the water bearing and truth and stuff like that is going to come more and more into the consciousness of humanity. Because shout out to the Aquarius. So it's just that we're evolving. You know, we're asking more questions. Like the first caller said, they used to just go to church and not really read the Bible. They would just listen to the preachers give a sermon each Sunday and go over a few scriptures with his interpretation that he learned in theology school. But what they teach you to preach in theology school is for their agenda. You see what I'm saying? And I believe, especially in the black community, it comes from a slave narrative to keep you docile, you know, and to keep you subservient, docile, weak, kind of forgiving, and that was the paradigm that Christianity was pushing.
Thank you, Carla, for calling in.
Up on the people. Yeah, thank you, Carla. I didn't mean to say thank you to the caller, but thank you, Carla. Do we want to go and get another call, Ms. Rigel?
Yeah. Okay, let's take
call
314-616. Carla, you have a question or a comment?
Peace. White supremacy. Can y'all hear me?
Peace.
Hey,
loud and clear.
How you doing?
Hey,
yes, sir.
What's going
yes,
on?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
I had gotten an email about the topic, and it was right on point because literally an hour before I got what the message was going to be, I haven't kind of meditating on this thing. And, you know, I'm just chiming in, so I don't know what all has been discussed, but what Brother Kev was saying was it's very on point. And I think that a lot of us are starting to question this thing. And, you know, my whole thing about religion, whether it be the Hebrew or whatever it is that you subscribe to, I believe that it can be a very reformational tool to be used. We see that, you know, Elijah Muhammad, you know, bringing a black form of Islam has been very reformational to transforming a lot of these men that have been in prison and cleaning them up. So I have no problem with that. I think that, you know, it's the dogma that's associated to a lot of this stuff. And a lot of these preachers and imams are teaching from a perspective of fear. And, you know, my biggest thing, particularly a person that was in the Christianity heavy for like 20 years, is, you know, we're not understanding it. I've said this before. There's no separation of church and state, because whether it's church, you know, politics or education, it's all to conform you back into white supremacy. You know, and the interesting thing about church, because a lot of men don't go to church, but the women go to church, but the religion caters to the woman. And it can cause dysfunction in the marriage and the relationship if the man is not going into the white Jesus. You know, and I even remember reading an article about a year ago. I can't think of what country it was, somewhere in South America or in the Caribbean or something, where the leader of that area was ordering the closure of so many Pentecostal churches after this 9-year-old had been killed. They were allegedly casting out demons from the girl. You know, so it's like there's dangers in the spookism. And I really think that, you know, if we shut down the churches and the mosques here, that would be revolutionary, because, you know, it seems like your pastor has no revolutionary spirit, because with the tax-free money that they're receiving and with, you know, everything else that the congregation is giving to him or her, it makes them conform and be docile. And, you know, this turn the other cheek philosophy, I think that, you know, like Kev was saying, this theology school of thought that we're going to is not teaching us history and, you know, how certain emperors had these ecumenical councils, and we're not getting that history taught on it. We're only getting what we see in the Bible and the Quran, and then we have to entrust the people that are writing, you know, the footnotes. And I don't even think that we look at the author and the person that's translated these things. And I think if you look at that, you'll find out that these people were homosexuals, white supremacists, slave owners, that kind of thing. So then when we start there, we have to then ask ourselves, okay, if King James was a homosexual and, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, what of this translation can we really take into context? And so when we look at it from that perspective, we got to look at that, you know, like, okay, if I'm a homosexual, if I'm this, if I'm that, you know, how much of my information do you now trust? But you trust his Bible?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
Right, exactly. Yep. And those questions, like I say, as we move and our consciousness rises, those are the questions and things that come up. Because people, again, you got history available at your fingertips. You got this stuff documented. You have historical notes. Like, it's just things that are more readily available to the average person, to where you can ask those questions. Like, okay, who was King James? Why did he, you know, have to commission a group of saints or quote-unquote people to make this Bible or publish this Bible or rewrite or whatever, you know, whatever type of thing he did? You can ask those questions, and then you can go back and look, who was Constantine? What was the Council of Nicaea? These other different councils they had. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that have come up within the last, you know, 50 to 25 years that we can ask these questions and see what's going on, and it can be put out there. So,
you know. And I want to say this real quick before you guys go to another call or something. Again, from a reformational standpoint, I think that there are some tools that can be used to clean people's lives up. But once you get an understanding that these people are mythological and that these events did not actually occur, you know, but we can use this the same way we use, you know, the story of the boy that cried wolf, you know.
Right.
Once
you
understand it from that perspective, then I think we can better move forward, because religion is rooted in fear, distortion of information, and obedience is designed. I think Napoleon is the one that says, you know, religion's for the poor to keep them from overthrowing the rich.
Overthrowing the rich, exactly. Yep. Well said, my brother. Thank you, caller. We appreciate you every week. That is one of our alumni here at Collective Minds Radio. Appreciate it. But if you're just tuning in, y'all, this Collective Minds Radio we are talking about is organized religion dying. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And, yeah, I think before we get to another caller, the caller made some very interesting points because we got to look at it like this. There's a season and a time for everything. And at some point, organized religion is going to have its time as well. Like I said, I've seen the evolution of the characters in the Bible going from white to black. That's just one step. There's another step beyond that where black people as a group come into more of a spiritual awareness to where we're connecting and we're understanding, you know, the divinity within us and within each other. You see what I'm saying? So that process
it is what it is.
Still moving. You know, so just changing the characters black is just that's just one step in many more steps to come of us trying to figure out this thing, because when we look at what religion is today, it is basically a socio-political tool because they are 501c3, they are nonprofit. It is a tool of the government, again, to keep mostly the poor in check or to keep them looking over their shoulders and give them moralism and this dogma to keep them in check. So when they do something, they feel like somebody's in the clouds looking down on them and so on and so forth. So like he said with the quote from Napoleon, religion is actually keep the poor from murdering the rich. You dig what I'm saying? But, you know, that's a whole nother topic. If we want to go to the call lines, we can do that.
Okay. Let's take call 314-381. Call, you have a question or a comment?
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, peace. This is another alumni.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey.
You know,
in the building.
There's like 15 to 17 million black Southern Baptists. About 7 to 7.5 million Church of God in Christ that followed Charles Blake. And 3 to 5 million black Catholics.
Oh,
and all
wow.
The rest.
Okay.
So they do exist. And if people want to follow religion, that's their business. I hear people say the Constitution never said, the Constitution said that the First Amendment of the United States Constitution was directing Congress what it should not do. It cannot respect a religion. It cannot curtail freedom of speech. That's
right.
What they were giving instruction to Congress. Not private entities. Private entities can do those things. And people
right.
should
right.
read that. Another thing, there's a lot of events that occur in that you're reading about that occurred in real history. And I lay point out with the Cushites and their battle against the Assyrians, which is present day Iran. Syrians, Persians, present day Iran.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that battle is talked about in 2 Kings 19:35. 2 Kings 19:35, yeah. And what the Cushites did in 701 did battle the Assyrians. And there's some other accounts
right.
that really occur. Some personage, like Taharqa,
right.
Sennacherib, and his father and the cannibal and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They had to because
mm-hmm.
people then deified their culture into a religion. That's why I come to those many gods. Because
right.
man created them. But
right. And
mm-hmm.
now let me ask you this, caller. Do you think that every story and every event in the Bible actually happened or is literal or is historical?
Well, no, I can't say that everyone did. I don't think that the whale swallowed the what's the
there
guy's name? Yeah, I don't think that happened.
Jonah.
Jonah.
Jonah and the whale. Yeah. Right.
I don't think that happened.
Y'all really don't believe that happened? I don't know where y'all are.
I think I
don't see any examples of, you know.
Yeah, if people want to follow
it
religion,
it is what it is.
Now, I'll tell you something I don't like. You know, you was talking about how people are tearing down or want to take down a Confederate monument, right, of American soldiers. Well, guess what? ISIS said if they had a chance, they're going to tear them pyramids down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hold up now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to need some heavy-duty equipment to do that.
When they
were
in Syria, they tore up the Temple of Nimrod, and they tore up some other things. And I was getting ready to say something. And you know, Saddam, when he went into Cairo, he took the polished limestone off the pyramids and used it to build.
The limestone was on there, right.
Yeah. Now he used it to build churches, mosques in Cairo. So when you talk about tearing other people's stuff down, well, what you going to do when that which you care dearly about, and it may not be the same people, I don't think, but when somebody else talk about tearing your monuments down, a monument that you care so dearly about, well, you know, that's karma, I guess. Anyway.
Well, it's back. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get too far off topic, so I'm going to leave that alone. But we may bring that up on a future show, caller. We appreciate the call. And as
always, 19 and 35 in 2 Kings, it says, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, deported and wanted and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Those places are real places. Sennacherib was a real live king. Yes.
Right.
All right, I'll continue to listen.
There's a few. There's historical characters that are.
No, Pontius Pilate. There was a lot of Pilates now. another thing.
Right. There was a lot of Pilates. He was right. Exactly. But
yeah.
There
wasn't but one Sennacherib.
Yeah. So, from my understanding, like I said, it's some of the places are historicalized, but then you got a lot of allegories and parables and stories where things they're just trying to convey a particular message, and it's not meaning to be taken literal. It represents something else. You see what I'm saying? But I want to ask y'all this too. But before I do that, this is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call, Brother Mufasa Ra, Rigel Starr, and I'm Brother Kev. We are talking about is organized religion dying off, okay? Now, I want to ask y'all this, because this ties directly to that question. Do y'all notice when y'all ride around, I'm here in St. Louis, and even when I travel to other cities somewhat, you notice it seems like a lot of churches are abandoned or boarded up or maybe don't look like they're really functioning. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. That's why I'm asking the question. Because it seems to me in St. Louis, I drive around, I see a lot of old churches that are just out of commission, you know, boarded up or, you know, it just don't look like there's ever service there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know, but I'm wondering, you know, do y'all notice that or am I tripping?
Depends on what part of town you're in. Because to me, in my opinion, the money. See, the church, how do I want to say this? The churches survive off the money.
This
so
is
when
true.
You got when you're in areas where people are doing decent, you know, doing decent living well, the churches thrive.
Facts.
And in those poverty-stricken communities, after the churches then took what little bit of money that them people that had left, and then they can't afford to survive on their own, then they die off. So notice, like,
well,
when you go out into some of these communities that's, like I said, that's decent, the churches are still, you know, they're still doing their thing. They're still popping.
Now, I will say this, though. When you ride up and down Martin Luther King in St. Louis, mm-hmm. it looks a mess until you come to this complex of, I believe it's Friendly Temple. Mm-hmm. That's smack dab in the hood. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the Chinese spot, the liquor spot, all within, you know, they all yep. right there. And it looks, you know, a lot of businesses are downtrodden and so on and so forth. But when you get to this immaculate church in the middle mm-hmm. of the hood, it seems like they're doing pretty well. Even though I do see that they're trying to build up like different other buildings and maybe I think some homes mm-hmm. or something. But
yeah.
if it's not associated with the church, it's like dilapidated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some of them places that that Friendly Temple built, you know, the people that go to their congregation stay there. So they go there and help funnel back that money.
But I bet you also a lot of the people that go there don't live around that church area also. I bet you
that is true.
They migrate to that church.
I can believe that. Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah, a large following in North County, which he also had. There is a Friendly Temple in North County too now. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but he's expanded to also North County. Yeah, Pastor Mike Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, can I say something else? Can I say something else?
Go ahead, Colin. Go ahead, Colin.
Taylor, you in St. Louis. You know where Taylor and Page is?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Avenue?
Yes. Well, yeah, Taylor and Page, exactly.
Starting at Taylor and Page and go to St. Louis Avenue. Me and my grandson, without counting what was or is churches, it was 12.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, from Page to Delmar and Taylor down to Sarah, where Lancaster's place is. Either what is or what was between 30 and 35 churches.
Exactly.
We counted these with our own eyes and hands and fingers.
Exactly.
In that little area.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I mean, it is amazing how these things are all over the place, man. Then if you start off at Grand and drive down mm-hmm. Martin Luther King to say Haldeman, I don't even know where you. I tell you what, just from Union to Haldeman, count the churches. All right,
yep,
I get back
exactly.
on mute.
Yep, exactly. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Now that
thanks
is a great point. Yes, thank you, thank you. Now, that is an excellent point because some people may not agree with what I'm about to say, but I think there's a correlation between the number of churches in our community and the condition that our communities are in, because supposedly these are supposed to be spiritual houses that are supposed to elevate the people and bring them up, but these churches are in our neighborhood by the dozens, and it doesn't seem like any progress is being made, you know. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how people want to argue that or see it, but I think there's a correlation because, look, what do we have the most of in black communities? Churches, liquor stores, and Chinese restaurants. Like, that's just common anywhere around the country. You're going to find those things. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an excellent point. How many churches we have in our neighborhoods, yet we're not seeing the elevation and progress that we should be seeing as far as, you know, lower crime, treating each other better, black self-respect, these type of things, which should be talked about, I believe, in black churches. You know, we should have preachers talking about white supremacy and
it is
racism
what it
and
is.
Different things like that. You know what I'm saying? Because these are real things, as opposed to just sticking to that theology they learned in, you know, theological school. That's really may not be that beneficial to the group as a whole. You dig what I'm saying? So I think that was a excellent point Carla brought up.
Well, you know, so many people want to, they want to feel good. It's like taking a shot of liquor. You know, they come to these churches, they ain't looking for economic program and something that's going to make you be, you know, hold yourself to some type of accord. They just want to come there, get a shot of feel good, and, you know, go on with their day. Now, if you want to come on and get you some economics and a blueprint, come on West Florida to Mas 28. The doors to the church is open.
Right, exactly. So that's another thing. That's why I say if the church, because the church was at one point a powerful force in the black community. You see what I'm saying? It once was like during that civil rights period and the early 20th century. It was a strong institution in our community. But we kind of lost the way, I think, when it became like a governmental entity, when it got to be controlled by the government. Because check this out. If the church was really on point in the 90, in the 80s and 90s when they started, you know, the crack epidemic and mass incarceration, the church should have been the first one on the front lines to prevent our people from going down that road. You see what I'm saying? If we was on point and on, you know, we would have recognized that, hey, they putting these drugs in our community. They trying to give us three strikes, lock us up. The church could have been at the forefront of stopping that. But since I say that it's part of a government program, they didn't do anything. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, corrupt. And you got all types of corruption and unrighteous people that's in the church. You got the pastor that's sleeping with, he got the first wife, he's sleeping with three, four other women in the church, causing commotion. You know, people ain't liking each other, they ain't moral, they ain't going by the doctrine that they claim that they so much love and uplifting. You know, they not in the book, they just on some how they feel good stuff, like I was saying.
Right,
you know, so,
exactly.
Yep. The church just end up destroying itself from within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. So, if you're just joining us again, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about is the organized religion dying? More specifically, is the black church dying? Is, you know, three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are these three religions dying and people are finding new ways to, you know, express themselves spiritually? Or are they still rock solid? Give us a call. Let us know. I'm your host, Brother Kid, with Mufasa Ra and our sister, Roger Starr.
It is what it is.
Because I had a question on deck, too, that I wanted to ask y'all. Let me see.
While you're thinking that, I will say this, too. Just kind of go back to the first question, first thing that you mentioned, well, the last thing you mentioned, I'm sorry, about the amount of churches that's in the communities. That's, I think it's too many. There's no unity, of course. You know, it's not necessary to have so many churches in one community. The community is supposed to be a community, you know. So I think to compare, because someone mentioned about in certain neighborhoods, you see that where it's a little more, where the poverty isn't as bad. Well, though, I think like in the, when you start thinking about the county of St. Louis, it's not as many churches on every corner as when you come down to St. Louis City. In St. Louis City, like the last caller just mentioned and pointed out, there's so many different churches just like on one block. It's like 15, 20 churches on one block. That is so unnecessary, you know. Even just the idea and the purpose of church itself is supposed to bring healing and unity. So why do you see so much division? That's a sign of division. When you see 10 churches on one block, that is division. If you got 10 people that want to build a church, why not do it together? Mm. Especially if you're going to be on the same block. That's like,
right.
I don't get that. That actually, to me, shows signs. It explores signs of other issues that's within our community. You know, if you have to have so many. It doesn't make sense to me, you know.
Well, I mean, in the black community, how many different factions we got? We got Baptist, Christian.
You got a lot.
What, Pentecostal?
Pentecostal, non-denominational. Non-denominational, AME, African Methodist.
Yeah, so you got sets. They like gangs, huh?
Right, you got the AME on one corner, then you got the Pentecost on the other. Let's bang. Let's see who get the most recruits. You know? I agree with Roger Starr 100%. I think it's a waste of resources, and it shows a lack of unity, you know, especially when, you know, it should be common when these congregations are mostly black. Why y'all just can't come together and try to, you know, try to get some things done. And I think another problem that we've run into here lately and why religion is dying off is the money that has become involved in religion.
It is what it is.
You see what I'm saying? Because when you tie money into spirituality or quote-unquote spirituality, which is called religion, it gets kind of muddy. You see what I'm saying? Because we know we live in a world where money is, you know, we need money to do things. It creates a different lifestyle, gives you power, gives you this, gives you that. So when you add that dynamic to religion, which is supposed to be about spirituality and upliftment, then it gets kind of corrupted. You see what I'm saying? And then when you add a lot of money, like when you got these mega churches and these mega preachers, then it creates a situation to where people are no longer concerned about the spirituality and the teaching. They're just concerned about selling people hope so they can get more money. You know what I'm saying? They're basically trying to sell something so people can donate and they can get more money. And then create just a corrupt dynamic. You know what I'm saying? And that's been part of the problem as black people have come into a lot of money here in the 80s and 90s and, you know, 2000s. We're seeing a lot of money, and we're seeing bigger and bigger churches. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing these mega churches arise where they're not really concerned about the word per se or uplifting or spirituality or making people have knowledge of self. They're concerned about, am I giving the right speech to motivate and sell hope to these people? So they want to come back and donate this money. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, people are kind of just getting away from that. They, you know, I don't feel like people feel like they need to be.
It is what it is.
Give you money so you can motivate me.
You know, another thing that's interesting, too. You know, another thing that's interesting. And to me, it seems like that there is a bit of a difference if we're going to compare from back in the day to now. Another interesting thing to me is that you have so many pastors that's part-time pastors. We don't have full-time pastors too much anymore. A lot of part-time pastors. You have pastors that's working at Coca-Cola, pastors that's working at the post office, pastors that's working here, you know, and that is, to me, that really speaks volumes, because a true, genuine situation is ideal for the people in the community supposed to be able to come to the church at any time.
Right.
Because if you're in a situation and the church doors is closed, where you gonna go? You can't. You know. Not, I think the doors of the church should be open a great deal of the time to prevent situations where you have people in the community that do need to go and talk to somebody. Maybe that pastor can be there and help somebody to stop them from doing something crazy.
Exactly.
You know, maybe they lost their job and they're thinking about doing something crazy. They can go to the church and get some spiritual healing and uplifting and guidance and some support, where even if it's just to you know, you can do it, brother. We here with you, brother. Make somebody, you know that you have somebody here with you.
Right.
And then those type
right.
of things can help, you know, help prevent things, you know, mm-hmm. in the community from happening. So I think with the fact that we have all these part-time pastors, you know, everybody just can't do it. You know, if you're not in a position where you can't be a full-time pastor, I think you should reconsider the way that you do it. I'm not saying to give up on helping someone, but you can reconsider your method. Maybe you don't need a church right now. Maybe you need to, like we just mentioned earlier, partner with some people instead of trying to have 10 churches on one block. Partner with somebody and say, hey, I can't have my own church right now, but I feel like I have a lot of knowledge and support and love that I want to be able to give back to the community. And I'm willing
right.
to be here on these hours and these days to keep these doors open for the people in the community that may need to come in and get help. You know, I'm here. So I think that's a big issue, too. We have a lot of part-time pastors.
Right.
I want to touch a little bit on that. I understand where you're coming from, but I have to say this, that I think if more people would, you know, help the past out, you know, and be just like him, like, say, for instance, like in the nation, you got a lot of student ministers. So a lot of times if the main student minister ain't there, you got other student ministers that's around that you know, will step in, and we do it as a family, you know what I'm saying? We all supposed to be able to come together and help someone that may be struggling. That's why people should exchange numbers and reach out to,
yeah, that's,
to
that's,
people that
yeah,
you,
that's what I'm saying.
With.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It shouldn't be just
pastor,
one big old.
But
one big pimp daddy
big
that's up
what?
There.
Well, no,
right,
of course not. That's
I
why I just, that's why I was making a point. That's why I was making a point that if you are someone that inspired to be a pastor, what's wrong with networking mm-hmm. and working with another
yeah.
church, saying, "Hey, I can be here from these hours to these hours." That way the doors can be kept open, so that way it can be a place where people can come and confess their sins and get some guidance, you know?
Confess
so
your sins.
I just think
yeah.
I just think that we should, I think churches should consider, you know, going to that, but I already know they're going to say, well, like Mufasa just said, well, I don't have the support. Who's going to keep the lights on? Who's going to do this? So I have to work, and you know. So, but that's why it's important to work with each other. So that way you can't. If you just had one big church that was open from sun up to sundown, and even through the night, you know, that's better than having 10 churches with 10 people in each church. You know, you have
right.
one big church. You know, and those pastors who have the shifts, they can, you know, meet up on Sundays or one day out the week and go over things like that. But if the doors are open, I think that can also be a safe place to help people to come when they need to talk to somebody during those dark hours, or, you know, when something go down. You know, it's like, oh, it's not Sunday, so I'm going to have to wait to the pastor,
right,
to Sunday to talk
right.
to the pastor, to Bible mm-hmm. class to talk to the pastor about this. But shoot,
yeah.
by Sunday, anything could have went down by Sunday.
A listener texted in and said, Facebook is the new confessional, and likes are the blessing of God.
That's funny. That's funny. But, like Zach. I was saying, the vision of a spiritual center or a place of worship should be like that. You should be able to come there 24 hours, to you know, whatever type of assistance that you may need at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be ideal for really healing the community. You have a place where you can go if something happens. People go be there to, you know, work with you, help you out. You can talk, whatever. That is ideal for spirituality, for people becoming aware of doing stuff. But, yeah, so I think we really need to evaluate what a church is, what a religion is, and what is their role in a particular community. You see what I'm saying? What is the role of the church in a community? Because if you got a church there and around the churches, the community is in shambles, there's violence, drugs, so on and so forth, like, what is the church there for? Or what is that role? You know, it always goes back to the individual and the people, but if they're looking for these places of worship for guidance and, you know, some type of direction, you know, what direction are these places playing, these places of worship? What are they, what is their role? You know, that's just a question to everybody to think about and, you know, what they do in their own everyday life. But we got to figure out what is the role of these churches and, you know, spiritual centers in the community. What is the role? So, you know, this Collective Minds Radio look like we down to the last 10 minutes. So I'm going to just give a quick spiel, and then I'm going to let my other hosts give their last take on it. So I just want to be clear on this, too. I'm not anti-Bible, because before, I'm going to be honest, I used to be anti-Bible. I didn't want nothing to do with it, but now I've turned over a new leaf. I've grown, evolved. So now I'm not anti-Bible. I'm just anti the interpretation. I think the interpretation that we have of the Bible and of the stories is incorrect from, you know, from my research. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I think as far as religion dying, like I said, I think there's a season for everything. And I think eventually the season for the organized religion that we know of today, at some point, that's going to be null and void. Now, spirituality will always be in place. I think these religious texts like the Bible, the Quran, they will always have a place because they are, they do have information in it. They do have guidance. They do have wisdom and things of that nature in there. But I don't think it'll be as structured and as organized as we see today. I don't think it, you know, as we move forward, I'm hoping that
it is what it is.
It has evolved. And it becomes more spiritual and more know thyself as opposed to religious dogma and you praying to something outside of yourself. So, you know, that's just my personal opinion. And, yes, I do think religion is dying, but I think spirituality and awareness of self is on the rise. And I'm going to give it to my brother Mufasa or Rigel Starr, who want to take it.
Go ahead, Mufasa. Mufasa, he in the building. He done left us. Left us alone.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm going to. I agree with Brother Kev. I agree with Brother Kev. You know, if y'all, I don't know if anybody listened to this show months ago or even last year. You know, me and Brother Kevin go hard on the Bible. We basically was some Bible bashers. We didn't put that work in on that Bible, on that book, how we feel about that. But, you know, he right with that, saying that it's the interpretation and, you know, how you look at it. I ain't going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to bash
it.
But I do, the way I look at it is, like Brother Kev said, the way you interpreting it. You know, I don't take the Bible as being a literal book. You know, I get out of it read the stories and I get the examples out of it that I need to get. There's still some stuff in there now that I can read and I guess, I know that's some craziness like that, which this ain't the show for
right.
that, but.
Right.
right. Yeah, I ain't finna even get off of it. So, but yeah, as far as religion's dying, I'm gonna have to say no. You know, in closing, that no, they're not really dying. It's just that people are going, you know, like you said, the rise of comedics, you know, or spirituality is new right now. You've seen a lot of arts going around and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And like you said, we don't really look at that as a religion. It's more of a way of life.
Way of life. There you go.
So people are getting involved in that and getting more conscious and knowing ourselves. Then you got some people that don't go to, you know, go out and about to congregate because they do a lot of online reading and listening and learning. So it may seem like certain stuff is dying off what it ain't. But, yeah, these religions ain't dying because, you know, we still have wars over religion, over religious doctrine.
There's
still fights going on overseas right now as far as religious stuff go. So it ain't dying. It's a new dynamic of the way, a new way of people seeing things and experiencing these religions.
Indeed. Yes, sir. Sister Rita Starr, your final thoughts. Is religion
back?
I still feel the same, but I do agree with you guys, too. You made some good points. Definitely different interpretations, you know, different experiences of what, you know, life is. People experience life differently. From their level of understanding, people will experience life. As far as the religion dying off, just to answer the question, my question stays the same, though. I mean, my answer stays the same, the way of doing things have changed. So if you want to consider that a death, you know, that's fine. But I do think the way of doing things has changed. It's more of an upgrading system now, and the way of doing things is more upgraded and more, you know, just keeping up with today's times. Like I said, with the dress codes, using that as an example. And I personally would like to see a little more old school, though. You know, I think we even if it's nothing wrong with upgrading, but I think as leaders, as church supposed to be a form of leadership in the community. And leadership to me means trendsetters. I think the church and the leaders are supposed to create the new. But instead it appears that we or the church copies the community instead of the community copying the church. I think if the church has leaders who should be the trendsetters, the thinkers, the, you know, the innovators, the creators, they're not doing that. You don't see that because the community isn't mocking the church. The church now, to me, seems to be mocking the community. That's why you have all these gospel rappers and things like that. So I would just like to see that the church and the leadership of the church just really stand within their role as a leader, as a trendsetter, as a creator, you know, as leadership. How you going to be a leader and be in a leadership role, but then you following someone or something, you know? And I think that's what we miss. And I think that goes to show that all of these churches, there's a sign of a problem to me, because you cannot have so many great people in this church, I mean, in this community, but the community is steady falling. So something not right. There's a falseness there. If you got all these great leaders and leaderships in this community, but the community is still falling. So that, to me, shows a falseness there. So something needs to be checked. If it was that many leaders in one community, the community should not be falling. So that says to me, everybody is not a leader. Every church is not supposed to be there. And I'm going to leave it at that. And I'll talk to y'all next week.
Hey,
shout out to everybody that called in. We appreciate y'all calling. Tune in
next
Sunday.
Yes, we appreciate the listeners and supporters. We definitely appreciate it. And no religion is...
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curb, we about to earn.
tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's only on a new point, calling with your viewpoint, but add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, words to the mothers, but the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We've been going deeper, breaking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.